Okay, praise the Lord. So, let us pray and let's enter into what God has in His mind. Father, we come and we request Your presence. We are needy people, and that is to people who are listening, me speaking or brother here translating. We pray, Lord, that Your anointing would be flowing here. I pray, Lord, that You would help us to overcome every spirit who is trying to disturb. In our minds, in our souls. Because we know what is the plan of the enemy. The plan of the enemy is to make sure we would not become sons of God. Lord, You gave us all the power we need to overcome the enemy. So by faith, we submit ourselves to You. We submit to You, Lord, this meeting. And we pray, Lord, that You would speak. That You would speak and You would deliver what You have in Your mind. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I would like to go back where we finished, real brief. And I would like us to understand some of the implications they are. If I remember well, this was the picture of the tabernacle.
Moses.
Amen. What is the tabernacle representing? The tabernacle is representing your journey of salvation. Here in the Holy of Holies, this is the place where you are going to meet with the presence of God. Amen.
Amen.
It means this is the end of our salvation. My question is, are you saved? You say yes? Well, why is the Bible then asking you that you work out your salvation with fear and trembling? Or why is the Bible saying that those who will tarry till the end will be saved? Because we are saved by hope. Amen. You hope you will be saved. I was explaining in Cebu City that it's like if you got a ticket or plane ticket or bus ticket. When you have received, or if you have received Jesus Christ into your heart, you have received a ticket for a bus. Which should take you to the ultimate goal. Amen.
Amen.
But if you never go to the bus station and enter the bus, or if you leave the bus in the middle of the journey, amen, that means you never reach your goal. And why are we bringing you this message? It's because there is a false teaching in the church. The false teaching is giving a false security. It is giving you a false guarantee. It is if you go to doctor and find out you have a cancer. And the doctor says you are dying. Amen. This is condition of every man outside the people who are saved. Now, the doctor says there is a solution. And he says that you have to go through a certain treatment. But the problem is, you do not want to go through this treatment. And the doctor is telling you, you have only two options. Either you die of the cancer of yours, or you have to go through the process. But then you leave the doctor and you find another doctor. You find a doctor which will tell you, don't worry, it's okay. It's only fine if it'll go away. It's only fine if you visit me every month. I will check you. They are too harsh. The other doctor was too harsh. You don't need to go through any treatment. So what happens now? It means you don't need to go any treatment. You're fine. It's changing nothing with your illness. Finding a doctor who will tell you that you are okay is not going to heal you. Amen. So, when you find a preacher who is telling you you do not need to change and repent and you are saved, if you remain the same as you are, as is the world, believing because you are part of some church, you are okay.
persembahan, mau remang tiga pun.
You are deceived.
Bote pasapot tiada agan, naling bunga dah tung kita boleh.
Amen.
Amen.
This is one of the biggest deception of the church system.
Mau kini saya nak aku kaya no problema maikson, sana persembahan lah.
I would like you, when I ask you whether you are saved, you should answer a little more complex. I hope I am. I'm working on it. And I believe I will be. Amen.
Amen.
Do not let us not deceive ourselves. We have to go the proper way. The brazen altar here. Actually, this doesn't belong here, really. It belongs somewhere else. But the brazen altar here represents death. They were sacrificing the animals. It is speaking about the salvation. What was the material it was built from? Help me here. What was it? Oh. Now it's okay. Now we can speak. What was it? Made out of gold? Or silver? Was it gold? Was it silver? Or what was it? It was brass, wasn't it? It was brazen. Amen. Brass in a Bible is speaking about judgment. Amen. So you have to go through judgment. You have to understand in fullness your sinful nature. If you believe you are good people, you cannot be saved. Amen. If you think you are almost okay, you just want to go to church, you cannot be saved. If you think that the thing you are doing in your mind are okay because everybody else is doing it, you cannot be forgiven. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's why the churches are full of worldly behavior. And by the way, I don't want to threaten you, but hell will be full of church people. Because the church never was leading people to real and true repentance. Amen.
Amen.
There is not judgment preached anymore in churches. They look around and say, we want to be like the other nations. We want to be like the other denominations. The thing the church worries about is whether they have a music like the world. Whether they have a program like the world. Amen. Hallelujah. So I just want to remind you what happened here. And the altar, the true brazen altar, was removed. Put aside. It's still in a corner somewhere. Somebody was speaking here about a preacher who has 10,000 people in a church. You know, his name is Joel Austin, for example. Do you have here preachers who have thousands and thousands in churches? No? Okay. So it's somewhere in the world, there's this doctrine preached. Let's try again, whether we can be quiet, let's see. Good, okay. We still can do it. And the problem is, when he was interviewed, not only they ask him about the homosexuals and about the sin and other things, they ask him and said, why do you Christians believe that Jesus is the only way? And he says, well, I'm not saying Jesus is the only way. He says, God is love. And if there is honest Muslim or honest Hindu, God will judge it and maybe they end up in heaven too. He's got maybe 10,000 people in his church who are deceived, believing they are saved, and they are dying. Amen. We do not want to be deceived, brethren. And I am not speaking only about the churches out there. I am speaking about us. I am speaking about you and me. Bible says that we need to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. This is black, okay? I don't have the black, but this is black as it can be. There is a false altar. There is a false salvation. Amen? we need to check our salvation.
Kinahanglan atong susihon ang ato ang kalo.
We need to make sure
kinahanglan atong siguron
that we have really given our life to God.
Nga ato kayong mapaniguro ng atong ginabuhi kay Kristo atong nahinato dito sa Dios.
Giving our life to God is submitting our soul to change. Amen. Hallelujah. So let us remove the false altar from our midst. Because this is an abomination. Hallelujah. Go and preach wherever you can, starting in your own soul. And say that there is a true, that there is a true altar. You need to know you are sinful. You need to know that your soul is full of darkness. Amen. Your soul has four parts. It is the mind. It is the will. It is the emotions and desires. Hallelujah. And the soul is in the beginning full of darkness. Amen. So we need to understand that the way we were thinking is darkness. The desires, the unclean desires, are darkness. Every greed is darkness. Jesus brought the law to higher level. Amen. And he says, it was said that whoever commits fornication commits sin or adultery. But I say unto you, whoever will look at a woman with a desire in his heart has already committed a fornication. Amen. So, looking at internet, looking at pictures, looking at or having even imaginations is like committing a fornication. Amen. Jesus said also, it used to be said, thou shalt not murder. But why don't we find it? Let's go to Matthew. Five what? Yeah, here it is. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. 5, Matthew 5:21.
Nagay ko ni Maiso sa Matthew 21.
Unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother Raka shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hell fire. That's why the churches say away with the judgment. Because they say we cannot do it. Have you been ever angry? Have you been angry? You are dying. That's a. If I'm reading my Bible correct, if you were angry, and by the way, brother here is a sister too. If you were angry with your wife or husband, the Bible and Jesus himself clearly say that you are in danger of hellfire. Do not say, well, I go to church, it will not be as bad. Amen? So, we need to realize that we are murderers, we are fornicators, we are liars. And there is nothing we can offer to God. Saying we are good people. The only thing we can do is to surrender to God. You have to take the judgment. You have to say, I'm guilty. I am guilty and I have no excuse. Amen.
Amen.
You have to go the way of brass. You have to go the way of judgment. You go before the judge. He has all the evidence. And he asks you, what do you have to say about it? And you only say, I'm guilty. And then the penalty is proclaimed. The penalty over you and over me is death. And only if you receive the penalty, amen, only then the mercy can be applied. Amen. Only when we admit that we have sinned, that God can come and shine into our soul and bring light. And then Jesus comes and he says, I have taken the penalty on me. It never said you are not guilty. You are guilty. But Jesus took it instead of you. Hallelujah. But it's only the beginning of a salvation. When you receive Christ, the right way into your life, you are clean. But the Bible says that you should not return, how is it in English? You should not return back to your... No. Like the animals who are once...
Like the dog.
Vomit. Okay, that's the word I'm looking for. You do not want, like the dog, to return back to your vomit. So once you are cleansed, your journey of righteousness should start. Amen. Your mind has to change. The Bible says that Jesus is the light that shines into our soul. Amen. And what does it mean? So there's a light shining from our spirit, ministering to our soul and pushing away the darkness. Amen. What does it mean? We call it conviction, don't we? You are doing something wrong. And Holy Ghost comes and says, hello brother. Hello soul. That is not right. So no more you live in darkness. Amen. You no more are living without a conviction. You know, if you come as a Christian and you come to church and you have a shorts or, I mean, you know, short skirt or not being dressed properly or anything, you should not be told. You don't need to be told. You feel unclean. Amen? You should feel convicted. tendency to hide in the presence of God. When Adam and Eve sinned, amen, they have hid from the Lord. And God, what was He doing? What was God doing? He was walking. He was walking in the garden. But the problem is, God was walking alone. And God never intended to walk alone. Hallelujah. Amen. So He's asking, Adam, where are you? Where are you? I want to walk with you. Amen. But he cannot walk because Adam was convicted of a sin. And he feared God. Amen. By the way, is not the Bible saying that He will come and walk in us and talk in us? So if you come into the presence of God, you need to be convicted. You know, I go, we are at the airport. You know, we are coming here and seeing different things. And I notice a fashion. I notice all these different, how do you call it? The head, the bone of the head. Scalp? No. How do you call the bone of your head?
Scarf?
No, scarf. The bone.
Oh, skull.
Skull, okay. And I see a lot of skulls on people, t-shirts and different places. You see snakes all over. You see hell. Amen? Did you see skull on a cloth? You know, in our country, when they go skiing or snowboarding, they have these snowboards where you go on a snow down the hill. Most of them have little skull on it somewhere. The stamp of the devil. Amen. It's like a little signature. Saying, this is mine. Do you want the devil to sign on you and say, you're mine? My children, when they see something like this, they would wear it. If the grandmother or somebody would try to put it on them, they would cry, they would be fighting, they don't want it. Because they say, I belong to Jesus. But you need to have your conviction, brethren. If you realize you are wearing something or your children are wearing something like this, where is the Holy Ghost coming? saying, this is not right. Amen? If you are participating, if you are part of all these pagan religion things, lest we have discussed the Christmas and Easter and whatever there is, and if you know the Bible is clearly saying that God hates it, if you know that it is something which turns God's stomach upside down, if you know it has come from the from Babylon, where is your conviction? Amen? Amen? I'm not getting much amens. Praise the Lord. So I wanted to say that the walk with God is speaking about a soul being convicted. When is it convicted? In the beginning? Since the beginning. On daily basis. So what do you do when you are convicted? Repent. Amen. How do you repent? What is it? It's a religious word. Repent. What is it? What do you do? Ask for forgiveness.
Okay.
Whom do you ask for forgiveness? The Lord? Okay. So you start with the Lord. Say, Lord, I am sorry. But then, whom else do you ask for forgiveness? Whom else do you ask for forgiveness? The people whom I sin against, amen? Wait a minute, even if it's my wife? Oh really? What if it's my children? Or brother? Or parents? Amen?
Amen.
Alright, so you ask for forgiveness. And what do you do next? You begin to walk in righteousness. In other words, you will not do it again. Hallelujah. So more light has come into your soul.
Amen.
So we are saying here that you started the journey. And in the beginning of the journey, you are saved by hope. And through your journey, the Bible says you are being saved. Amen. And being saved, it means that we cease from sin. Hallelujah. And the salvation will come fully into our soul. Hallelujah. How or what is there to help us with saving our souls? Let's go to James. James 1:21. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity and naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. In James 1:2, it starts, "My brethren." Amen. So this letter is sent to the brethren. And it says that the word, receive the word in meekness. That has the power to save your souls. Who needs his soul to be saved? Amen. So you need to receive the word and allow the word to convict you of sin. And you need to allow the Holy Ghost that He would bring you before the altar. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Let's go to John, the first chapter. John 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So, we understand that the Word equals God. Amen? So, if we say in James 1:21 that we receive the word, amen, it means we are receiving God in the word. By the way, that's why when somebody is preaching here word, it's ministering you God. And in the word, there is conviction, but there is also power to overcome the very thing you are convicted of. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
So if you receive the word, it gives you power to overcome the sin. Amen. The word also says there is a promise. It says, walk ye by spirit, and you shall not sin. Amen.
Amen.
Or another scripture, if you're writing down, it says, I have hid thy word in my heart that I would not sin against thee. Amen. Huh?
119.
Oh, yes. Yes. Praise the Lord. So the idea is that the word which you receive contains God. Amen. So that's the word. It's like a gift, like a package. And if you open it, you find God in it. And more than God, furthermore, let's say, it says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. So word equals God. And that equals life. So if you have problem with darkness, you need light. Amen. And the light you receive from the Word of God, which contains God. The more Word of God you will have in you, the bigger power you have, and the more light you have in your soul. And actually, believe me, you will find it difficult to sin. Can you say amen? I do not believe that forever I will desire sin, and I will do righteousness regardless of my desires. There's so many sins God has delivered me of, to the full extent, they do not tempt me. You can be offering me cigarette as long as you want. I am not interested. Amen. My desires have been changed. Amen. I'm not tempted by homosexuality. Amen. There is nothing I need to do. I don't need to suffer holding myself. I'm free. These are just two easy examples. But God can deliver you from your sins. Is it anger? Is it fear? Is it jealousy? Is it greed? Is it lie? Is it lust of the flesh? If you receive word which contains God and light, He will do it in your soul. So in Him was life, and the life was the light of man. So you have in one package, in the Word, you have God with a power. You've got light that will lighten your soul. And then it brings life to replace death. Hallelujah. And the light shines in darkness. Darkness, how is it? Overcame it not. Hallelujah. Do you know that darkness does not exist? If you ask anybody who is expert in physics, if they can measure darkness or to define it, they will tell you it doesn't exist. It is the absence of light. Amen. You can bring light. You cannot bring darkness. Can you buy a machine which would create darkness? Try to go to shop and say, I don't sleep well because there's too much light. Let me be quiet now and see. Much better. So, can you go and say, I don't sleep, there's too much light, please sell me something when I can switch on and it'll be dark? And they'll say, no, sir. The only thing you can do is hide yourself from light. Hallelujah. Because there's no way that the darkness would overcome light. the light is defined, the darkness is defined as absence of light. So the good news is there is no sin which can overcome the light. Amen? This is a promise everlasting. If you walk in light, you will not sin. And if you walk in light, as He is in light, you will have life, because He is life. Amen?
Amen.
So what are we talking about? We are talking about salvation. We are talking about the desire God has, that God wants to walk with you. It is the darkness in your soul that prevents you from walking fully with God. Don't be deceived by believing you are saved because you went to church. But rather allow the Holy Ghost to minister to you. Via the Word of God to bring light into your soul and push away the darkness. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. The promise is that a soul will be fully clean. And I'm sure somebody will come back to it. That's the sealing of God. Regardless of what we think, there will be a group of people. Amen? Let's call them 144,000. If you look in Revelation 14, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. 14:1. 14. Revelations 14:1. Because on the sixth day, God created man as well as the beast. What is the sign of the beast? The number of a beast is 666. Amen. And the number of the beast, where is it going to be?
gusto mo makaplagat kaning numero sa maumananak.
On a forehead.
Dire sa ihang altar.
Amen.
Altar.
So, you can either in the fullness have the number of the beast.
Ako patapos na ko gawas lang pero kung ikaw
have the father's name in your forehead. What do you think it means? People believe that somebody will come, excuse me, and write the name 666 on somebody's forehead. They believe he will have a chip here. No. It's way too low. It's speaking about the mind. Hallelujah. About the hona hona.
Speaking about our mind.
Hallelujah. You can have either the mind of a man, mind of a flesh, fullness of a flesh, or you can be among the people that will have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters and as the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. Amen.
Amen.
It is not 144,000 Jehovah Witnesses.
144,000
It is a spiritual world, a spiritual message. And it is not speaking about a natural Israel. No, it's not. It is speaking about you and me. If you want to. It is speaking about a company of people that have sacrificed their lives. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. Amen. So now, what about the married people? What about those? They are undefiled. Because it is speaking about unclean relationship. It's speaking about being involved with other women. And a woman in the Bible is representing church.
Kung makakita kayo sa Biblia mga eksod o babae na gusto ko sa mga anak, hindi mawawalan.
Virgin is pure.
Ang kanang puti, mapanasya ang wapag-ilapti.
Amen? So they were pure, undefiled with the religious system. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the firstfruits unto God and unto the Lamb.
Verse.
I continue. Verse 3, I believe. No, 4. 4. The end of 4. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. God will have his group of people. Regardless of what is happening outside, God will have people with the mind of Christ that will speak power, healing and resurrection. Amen?
Amen.
The question is, will you be part of that people? That's the offer God has for you. But with the offer, it comes requirement. We have just listed it. If you allow the Word of God to come to your soul, if you allow the anger to be put away, the hatred, the uncleanness, if instead the forgiveness will come, gentleness, kindness, righteousness, then you truly are the children of God. So with a fear of trembling, let's make our salvation sure. Amen. God bless you.
Amen.